Well, good morning again, everyone. Welcome to another Sunday event at Culpeper Christian Fellowship. Now, regardless of the coronavirus, our elected officials, and the craziness that is taking place in our country, it's wonderful that we can come together to worship our Creator. So again, it is wonderful to see each and every one of you. And as I look out and I see your faces, I'm reminded about a book that was written by Demas Shakarian. And he's the gentleman who started the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. The title of his book is The Happiest People on Earth. And that's what your faces are reflecting back to me. Okay? And obviously, it's the Lord in our hearts that brings our joy, that causes us to put a smile on our face. When I was at Wawa, I noticed that everybody's having to wear a mask, but they had a sign that said, there's a smile behind this mask, you know, for the. So that's always a good thing. Now, for those of you who don't know, Demas was actually a dairy farmer. So he's had a lot in common with our brother Will here. And the name Shakarian is Armenian. And although Demas was born here in the United States, in his book he tells why his grandparents and parents left Armenia just a few years before they had the tremendous Turkish genocide took place between 1915 and 1923. 1.5 million Armenians were killed during that time. But his family was able to escape. And now Demas, he was a very engaging speaker, but he's not what you would refer to as a motivational speaker. And those of you who've gone to some of these motivational seminars or classes have a pretty good idea of what I mean. Today's motivational speakers try to get those that are paying for their events to just really think very deeply about the things that really matter in their lives. So I'm told that there was a motivational specialist who liked the idea of audience participation. That's a big thing for this guy. So at one point in his presentation, he asked three men. He said, you three gentlemen, come up here on the stage with me. So they come up on the stage, and they're standing there. And he motions off to the side, and in they come. And they wheel this casket, an open casket, nobody in it, in front of the three guys. And so he says to them, and asked them somberly, when you are in your casket and your family and your friends are mourning your passing, what would you like to hear them say about you? An important question. Well, the first man thought very carefully about this and said, I would like to hear them say that I was a great doctor of my time and that I was a great family man. Okay. Second man also thought very deeply and replied, I would like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and a dedicated school teacher who made a big difference in the lives of the children I taught. Well, the third fella looked at the casket, into it, somewhat apprehensively, and he said, I would like to hear them say, look, he's moving. Well, at least he was honest. And from your response, I can tell that you all are alive. So I think we can move on to the message. Let's ask the Lord's blessing of our time as I bring the message, especially for the message itself. Father, I just trust that you've helped me with preparing this message, that this is what was on your heart for us today. Just ask that you would help me as I bring the message, but also that our hearts would be prepared to hear, that each of us would find something from the message that touches each one's hearts, perhaps in a different way, but that makes an impact and that it just brings them closer and brings us closer to you. So we thank you for being with us. We thank you for your presence. Father, quicken your word to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in a past message, I mentioned that there are three concepts that are found in Scripture that are quite closely related. And yet, they are very distinct. I mentioned in the past about these three words, worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Now, all three occur very frequently in the scripture, but it's important to be able to distinguish between them. When we examine the words, what we find is that worship is primarily an attitude or the posture of the body. Okay. Bowing the head, bowing our entire upper part of the body, prostrating ourselves on the ground, or even bowing our spirits before God. Praise, on the other hand, is an utterance. It's something that's coming out of our mouths. And that's emphasized quite a lot in Scripture. And thanksgiving is when we thank God for what he has done for us, the things that we can be thankful for. A one-dimensional way of looking at these three words and categorizing these concepts, if you would be to say the following. That in worship, we relate to God's holiness. In praise, we relate to God's greatness. And in thanksgiving, we relate to God's goodness. Okay, now it's just a one-dimensional thing. There's many other ways of looking at these, but I bring that up because today I want to focus on only one of those themes, and that is the theme of praise as it's described in Scripture, and in particular as it is spoken about in the Psalms. Am I doing it right? Oh, I must be going the right direction. There it is. Okay. This is our jumping off text. And it's found in Psalm 48, 1 and 2. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now, I've deliberately used the King James Version here for a kind of personal reason. That is that it was set to music, and 50 years ago when Marek and I were saved, it was one of the first songs that we learned to sing. Now, my singing voice is rather off key, so I'm not about to belt it out to you right now, but we'll spare everyone. I mentioned that in praise we relate to God's greatness, and that's exactly what Psalm 48 says. The Lord is great. It's for that reason that he's to be praised. But to what extent should we praise him? Well, I believe that we need to praise God in the proportion of his greatness. Okay? We might think of people who are maybe great statesmen in our country, for instance. And so we might praise, say, George Washington a bit more than we might praise Patrick Henry, for instance. Okay, so it's a proportional type of thing. We should praise God in the proportion of his greatness. So the greater that he is in our eyes, in our understanding, the greater should be our praise. Now, I've entitled today's message, Journey Through the Psalms of Praise. We're not going to cover all the things that the Psalms have to say about praise. But you all know Psalm 8, 3 and 4. It says the following, when I behold your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? The psalmist says that as he observes what the Lord has made in the universe, as he examines in detail what God has created when he looks up into the night sky, he's astonished that the Lord Almighty is even mindful of mankind. But David is aware that the main focus of God is with us, with those who were made in his image. And the reason I say that is because when he begins that psalm, he starts with this particular phrase. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And he ends that psalm with the same words. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. By the way, that's also the start of a great song that I won't sing. Today's message is intended to help us enter into praise in much the same way that David did. And so to speak, we're going to walk through the Psalms. We're going to contemplate some of the nuances associated with praise that are revealed in the Psalms. I've heard it said that heaven is God's address. Anybody ever heard that one before? Yeah. Well, here is what the psalmist says, and I think he might disagree with that statement. Yet you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. The psalmist says, praise is God's address. It is where he lives. So this point number one is, if you want to be where God lives, you have to offer him praise. The Hebrew word that means to live in a place is the same word for to sit. A settlement, for instance, is a place of sitting. The psalmist says that God is enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our praise does not make him king. He is a king whether we praise him or not. But when we praise him, we offer him his throne. We welcome him and recognize his kingship. Praise is God's dwelling place and his throne. Now, one of my favorite verses in Scripture is actually found in Psalm 100. It's verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. The second point on this little discovery journey of ours is that praise is the way into the presence of God. To enter the temple area, Israelites had to walk through a gate, the gate that surrounded the temple, and David says that one does this with thanksgiving. But once inside the temple area, walking in the courts that Jesus walked in, we do so with praise on our lips. And this scripture gives us three reasons for praising God. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Now, each of those statements is true no matter what happens. So if you want to be in God's presence, saturate your words with praise. Remember, it's what the inhabitants of heaven do. And as we all know, David went through some very long and dark periods in his life. And many of us can look back over similar things in our own lives. Psalm 30, though, tells us what he ultimately found to be true. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have peeled off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks forever. God did this for David. And he changes our mourning into dancing for a reason, so that our hearts can sing his praises. But I want you to notice the last part of that sentence, and not be silent. God's primary purpose in giving us a tongue is to praise him. It is the one member of the body with which we can most perfectly praise and glorify God. Remember that God blesses you, delivers you, and takes away your mourning so that you will praise him and praise him out loud. Silence is not golden in God's kingdom. How about a fourth observation about praise? And that is that it includes more than just our words. Psalm 33 begins with these three verses. Rejoice in the Lord, O righteous ones. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him with strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. I think we're blessed to have people in our fellowship who can play musical instruments, and I can't wait until our worship team is able to lead us in song once again. Thanks to technology, we can at least listen to an incredible variety of praise songs off the internet, and so we just make do with what we have for right now. But in this psalm, we find David rejoicing and praising the Lord with harp, with 10-stringed instruments. He's singing a new song. He's making music. He's enjoying what he is doing in praising the Lord. Another aspect that sometimes we don't think about is that praise is a weapon of spiritual warfare. Now, why do I say that? Psalm 8:2. David speaks to the Lord, and he says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Now, we all know and understand that the enemy and the avenger is Satan. We need to silence him because he's accusing us before the throne of God day and night. The question is, how do we silence Satan? This psalm actually tells us that the strength that comes out of the mouth will do it. But it does not tell us exactly what it is that comes out of the mouth. Not to worry. Scripture being what Scripture is, Jesus provided the answer. Okay? How did he do that? Matthew 21:14-16. Listen to this little discussion that Jesus had. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Notice what David had said. You have ordained strength. But Jesus, in quoting the same scripture, reveals what this strength is when he says, you have perfected praise. The ordained strength of God's people is perfect praise that comes from hearts that are pure as those of babes and nursing infants. When we offer God perfect praise in that unseen realm which our natural eyes cannot perceive, we're able to silence Satan. We shut him up, and we take away from him that weapon that he uses against us all the time, accusing us in front of God himself. It's no wonder that the devil doesn't want us to praise the Lord. So, what does David have to say about praising the Lord? Here we go. Praise should be daily and always. That's a hard one, you know. You think of that, but that's just what he says. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. David says he will use his will to praise the Lord. Praising the Lord is something that we can do regardless of our feelings. David understood this. He makes the decision to praise the Lord. How many times don't people think that, well, I just don't feel like it. Things didn't go so well today. David says we should praise God every day and forever and forever. There's an interesting introduction to Psalm 34, which I'll get to in just a second, but the introduction to Psalm 34 says the following. A psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now you all remember that David had to flee his native land and from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. He had taken refuge in the court of a Gentile king named Abimelech. In order to protect himself, David had to pretend to be mad. Scripture says that he slobbered on his beard, scraped the doors with his nails like a madman. King Abimelech was upset, said to his servants, "Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman?" You'll find that in 1 Samuel 21, 14 to 15. But that's the background to David's situation at that particular time. And yet, he comes up with the psalm. And what's the first thing that he says in Psalm 34? "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Even when David was pretending to be mad, he praised the Lord. He praised the Lord all the time and with his mouth. He understood the importance of praise in spite of his circumstances. That is what makes a man or a woman of God. When you're down, when everything seems to be against you, when there's no natural reason for doing it, you nonetheless praise the Lord. I'm sure some of you have experienced similar circumstances. When a loved one was ill or injured or even died, when your job was eliminated, when a storm destroyed your car or property, or when you hit any other low point in your life, that is not the time to cease praising. David tells us that's the time to increase praising God. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Psalm 148. It's a wonderful psalm. If you go through it, you will find that it lists over 28 different categories of creatures and people that are exhorted to praise God. But the psalmist, wanting to kind of be inclusive, possibly realizing that Psalm 148 wasn't quite inclusive, just in case, he leaves this in Psalm 150, verse 6, which is actually the last verse in the psalm. And he says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Hallelujah. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. We find out that breath is given to us first and foremost so that we can praise God. Therefore, we are misusing our God-given breath if we don't praise Him with it. Now, I often wonder, as I listen to nature all around me, if the sounds that I hear are praises being lifted to God. A few evenings ago, after a heavy rain, there was a chorus of frogs belting out their greetings. I'm sure many of you have heard something similar. Okay. But I think, were they also praising God? I'd like to think so. The same goes for the sound of the wind blowing through the trees, or the sound of the pounding waves at the seashore. Now, for all I know, that little cricket that's chirping in my bedroom at night might be praising his creator. We'll go to another psalm. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. That's us, people. Okay? In the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. Now, I'm sure that most of us would agree that it is grievous to praise God in a half-hearted way. Here he says, with the whole heart. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Unfortunately, in many of the denominational churches that I've been in the past, or that sometimes we see people in those churches, and they're just mouthing the words. Their hearts aren't attached to what they're saying. And maybe it's just a song, well, it's time to sing, or what have you. The Spirit is not communing with God's Spirit. How sad. And hard to believe that for 24 years, that's the type of place I worshiped in. You know, I was a Catholic. We knelt down, stood up. You knew exactly what you had to say. I'm just glad that 50 years have gone by and I've been able to change that perspective completely. And that's, of course, because the Lord has saved me. I've been born again. But when I think back to the countless times that we did things by route, just rote, the rosary by rote, even going to church was rote. You know, you would figure out exactly how late you could get to Mass before it was too late and you had to come back another time, and then you figured out how early you could leave before it was okay to leave and you had actually attended Mass, okay? That was the life, and that's the life of so many of the people that we run into. Where's the praise? All these beautiful songs that are sung. But that's just it. They're words that are spoken, but the heart is not there. My whole heart, I will praise the Lord. I think God is worthy to be praised with our whole heart. So my encouragement is that when we do praise, and we do it with all of our heart, we really put our souls and our spirits into what we do when we praise him. Now, the interesting thing is that the psalmist also says that when we praise the Lord with our whole hearts, our bodies are bound to follow. Look at Psalm 63, 3 and 4. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Okay, I'm going to admit it. I slipped this psalm in because someone who is used to a little more, how shall I say, traditional service, might find people lifting their hands in praise a bit strange. I just wanted to show that it is scriptural to lift our hands in praise. However, not to get us onto a slippery slope, I will skip reading Psalm 149:3 and 150:4. Why? That's where God's people are enjoined to praise the Lord with dance. And that's probably something most would find rather uncomfortable. However, if you ever visit Israel, you'll find that dancing is done to God's praise. Okay? Different understanding, different culture. Okay? We're just a little bit more kind of like this when it comes to those type of things, especially since we've seen it done terribly. But again, Scripture showing us different level of worship, different ways in which people. And remember, what was David scorned by his wife for? Dancing with all his might before the Lord. Okay. If I jumped up on the stage and started dancing with all my might, you'd say, oh my gosh. Okay. But I was in a service one time, and this, middle-aged, maybe in her 50s, lady, she was up front. All of a sudden, she just got up onto the stage. She was a ballerina, and she just started dancing to the Lord. It was beautiful. Nobody followed her. Nobody thought that was what everybody had to do. There are so many ways in which we can praise God, and they're all great when they're done from the heart. Now, these are just a few of the attributes of praise that we find in the Psalms. In other scriptures, we find that praise is a way to gain deliverance. You'll remember that Paul and Silas were delivered out of jail when they began to pray and to praise God. An earthquake came. Hebrews 13:15 tells us that praise is a sacrifice. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. If you praise God when you feel happy and everything is going well, that's good. But it's not a sacrifice. When everything is going wrong and you still praise God, that is a sacrifice. It costs us something to praise God when we don't feel like it. But that is the time that we most need to praise him. And now as we come to the end of this message, I want us to consider one more verse. We'll find that in Psalm 111:12. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. You will recall that we started this little journey through the Psalms with this particular verse from Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We saw that in praise we relate to God's greatness. Now Psalm 111:2 reminds us of how great his works are, but it doesn't stop there. The psalmist continues by saying that the great works of God are pondered by all who delight in him. You delight in the Lord? If we delight in the Lord, we should ponder his greatness, his works. But what do we mean when we say ponder something? Well, we could say his great works are contemplated, they're mused over, they're thought about, they're wondered about, they're meditated on, examined, weighed in our minds. Basically, we chew on God's works because they help us focus on how great he is. It's actually easy to ponder the works of God because they're all around us, in his creation, and in his dealings with us. So as we go about through the rest of the day, consider taking time to ponder the greatness of our Lord. You might look up some of the latest information and pictures of myriad galaxies that have been discovered just in this past year. You might consider the incredible beauty and diversity God has bestowed on the birds of the air. You ever take a look at some of those pictures of these absolutely incredible colors on some of these birds? The way that they're formed, just amazing. Others might examine history of our country and identify times when God clearly intervened on our behalf as our nation was birthed and grew. Talking to you, Don. And still others can do the same by revisiting what God has done in their own lives. The great works of God are inexhaustible. So let's begin to make it a habit to daily ponder them and to ponder them deeply. I believe that you will find that if you do this, everything else in your lives will fade in comparison to God's greatness. Your spirits will just burst out in praise to our God and King. For those who can stand, let's pray. Lord, we've just taken a quick tour through the Psalms and seen all the ways in which we can praise you, all the reasons for praising you, or some of the reasons anyway. Lord, quicken several of those to our hearts. Help us throughout the day to be thinking on you and to be searching out your greatness. Lord, as we turn to you in this way, we also ask you to show us even more. Even the things that we read about, whatever, however small the details, show us more. Show us why scientists are wrong, that there's so much more complexity that they still do not understand. You are so great. Oh, how magnificent you are, Lord. We just praise you. We bless you. We magnify your name. We magnify your name for your creation, but we magnify you even more for saving us, for bringing us into the kingdom of your Son. We love you. We praise you this day. Go with us. Help us, Lord, to have a praise in our hearts throughout the day, and that when we meet others, we're able to explain to them why we have so much joy in you. Bless us, help us, strengthen us this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.